California's legislative analyst, more state budget deficits to come. Commentary. When I came to California in 1987 to write about state politics, one of the pleasant surprises was the legislative analyst's office. I like using data in my articles. And they provide analyses that truly live up to their nonpartisan label. That has happened even as the state has shifted away from a two-party system as the Democrats have achieved supermajority status in both houses of the legislature, meaning more than two-thirds of votes. I have disagreed with them whenever they have called for tax increases to solve budget problems, Sacramento parlance for deficits, because Californians already are taxed way too much. But it's always good to work with objective numbers. Their latest report, the 2024-25 budget, multi-year budget outlook, projects modest deficits continuing through fiscal year 2027-28, which ends on June 30, 2028. That's past when Governor Gavin Newsom's term ends in January 2027. Which, if it happens, would cut his time in office in half by fiscal condition. The first term, 2019-22, enjoyed massive surpluses. The second half, 2023-26, suffered stubborn deficits. Their chart follows. It includes both the LAO's forecasts, in blue, and projections of the governor's finance department, in brown. The report notes, the main reason that our estimates of the state's operating deficits are slightly smaller than the administration's is that our estimate of general fund spending is lower than the administration's estimates. Specifically, our estimates of spending are about $5 billion lower in 2025-26, $4 billion lower in 2026-27, and $3 billion lower in 2027-28. These differences are almost entirely driven by our lower spending estimates for health and human services programs. That's noteworthy because a governor, whether Mr. Newsom or a previous one, usually tries to downplay spending, while the LAO is more realistic. For example, last year's multi-year budget outlook noted, the operating deficits under our forecast are slightly larger, ranging from $14 billion to $20 billion, compared to those under the administration's forecast, ranging from $14 billion to $17 billion. The main points are, the forecasts are pretty close. And last year's forecasts actually were too high under both the LAO and the Department of Finance. Here's my chart comparing last year's LAO projections to this year's. It's always better to overestimate a fiscal problem than to underestimate it. That way, future problems can be reduced. And if a surplus comes about, it can be spent on one-time projects or, shocker, returned to the taxpayers. Hedging projections. A projection is just a bunch of numbers dependent on future events. The LAO's outlook sensibly takes into account budget cuts since the governor's May revision was released on May 14, and notes, while the budget is undeniably on better fiscal footing under the May revision, there are some key fiscal risks to the budget's out-year condition. Specifically, our forecast assumes the implementation of all of the governor's May revision proposals. Although our forecast includes our best estimates of the governor's proposals, due to the nature of forecasting, our assessment of the proposals also is subject to some uncertainty. Then there are the voters in the November 5 election. The LAO explains, the state's fiscal condition also faces other uncertainties. This includes, for example, tax proposals that have interactions with measures potentially appearing on the November ballot. These proposals specifically could present downside pressure on the budget picture. As of May 27, Ballotpedia tallied 12 initiatives currently slated for the November 5 ballot. There are no ballot numbers yet for them. Those affecting the fiscal picture include $18 minimum wage initiative. This would kill jobs and reduce state revenues. Employee Civil Action Law and PAGA repeal initiative. It could reduce lawsuits against businesses, thereby increasing their revenues, producing more taxable income. Oil and gas well regulations referendum. This would repeal Senate Bill 1137, which prohibits new oil and gas wells within health protection zones. Doing so would increase tax revenues from the wells. Pandemic Early Detection and Prevention Institute initiative. It would increase the income tax by 0.75% for 10 years and create the California Pandemic Early Detection and Prevention Institute. The top income tax rate would rise from 14.4% to 15.15%, by far the highest in the nation. More rich taxpayers would flee. Two-thirds legislative vote and voter approval for new or increased taxes initiative. This would finally give taxpayers a break. It's challenged in court by Governor Gavin Newsom and legislative leaders. But hearings before the California Supreme Court show the justices appear to be allowing the voters to decide. As these important initiatives show, the large potential changes themselves sow doubt among investors. Worse, every 2 years more initiatives appear on the ballot, either helping or hurting the business climate. And the legislature itself adds to the cloudiness, such as last year increasing the fast food minimum wage by $20 with Assembly Bill 1228. Economist Lee Ahanian described in the Independent Institute how it already killed nearly 10,000 jobs even before the April 1st implementation. Those now are former taxpayers drawing unemployment checks until they find new jobs or leave the state. Federal policy. Then there's the federal government. State politicians love to boast, California is the fifth largest economy in the world, as Attorney General Rob Bonta just did on May 26. But it's really just a subsection of the giant U.S. economy. Meaning it's directly affected by federal tax rates, trade policies, regulations, inflation, and especially, Federal Reserve interest rate policy. Then of course there's the November 5th election in which U.S. voters will choose between two different fiscal futures under either President Joe Biden or former President Donald Trump. That means all the projections by the LAO and the Finance Department depend on factors beyond the state's control, although influenced by California members of the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. The problem remains what it has been for decades: California both spends too much and depends too much on the income taxes paid by millionaires and billionaires, especially those in Silicon Valley. The nearly $100 billion surplus of 2 years ago was a golden state opportunity to transition to a more sensible taxation system, such as a flat tax. Doing so would have evened out the revenue roller coaster, while encouraging more investment to create the high-paying jobs needed just to survive in this expensive state. But the chance was lost. What it comes down to is crafting this year's budget numbers once again is like throwing darts at a shifting dartboard.